You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
To MLB News, where Shohei Ohtani's interpreter Ippei Mutsuhara was fired yesterday after running up gambling debts that were paid from Ohtani's bank accounts. Multiple sources told ESPN they totaled at least $4.5 million in wire transfers to a Southern California bookmaker under federal investigation. An Ohtani spokesperson at first said the Dodger star had covered his friend's debts, but later said that Ohtani was a victim of massive theft and authorities have been involved. Here is ESPN investigative reporter Tisha Thompson, who joined us earlier right here on First Take.
Ohtani's name was on a wire transfer, or I should say wire transfers, that had been sent to the bookmaking operation. Ohtani's spokesperson then facilitated an interview with the interpreter, Ippei Mutsuhara. He laid out a story where he said that he had gotten in over his head. I'm paraphrasing here, of course, that he had gotten in over his head and had accumulated so much debt, which, as you mentioned, sources had told us was about at least $4.5 million, that he had gone to Ohtani and had said, can you help me? And Ohtani eventually offered to pay off his debt. Of course, things then dramatically changed. Ohtani has not been accused of a crime.
Of course.
If anything, his lawyers have said that he is the victim, the potential victim of an alleged crime. I will tell you, we have sourcing that says that Major League Baseball is following closely what's coming out of that U.S. Attorney's office.
Okay. That, again, was Tisha Thompson earlier on First Take with us. We now welcome in ESPN MLB insider, our friend Jeff Passan. Jeff, great to see you. I'll skip the pleasantries so we can dive right into this. Jeff, what's your reaction to this story thus far?
Well, there's a lot of confusion on the first hand, and I think there's a lot of disappointment among baseball fans who look at Shohei Ohtani as the paragon of the sport. And it's disappointment that his name, that his brand, that the entirety of who he is to this game has been embroiled in, a scandal now, essentially. And the fact that he's coming out and his team is saying that he is victim of a massive theft, if that is the story, it's a sad state of affairs. But because the story changed, there is confusion right now. And Major League Baseball and its longtime ties with gambling scandals going all the way back to the Black Sox. Anytime you see the word gambling with Major League Baseball, whether it is the Black Sox, whether it is Pete Rose, and now Shohei Ohtani being linked to $4.5 million going from wires in his bank account to an alleged illegal bookmaker, it's just a really, really tough look for the sport. And I think what people want in the end is the whole truth and what actually happened.
Jeff, always good to see you, buddy. Thank you for being on the show. You used the word confusion emanating from the baseball community. My retort would be, in a question, confusion or suspicion? Which word more resonates with what you're talking about?
Well, I think the suspicion, Stephen A., is that on Tuesday, Tisha Thompson talked with Ippei Mutsuhara for 90 minutes, and he had one story. And then on Wednesday, Ohtani's camp came back and said what he said, we disavow, and this is the actual story. And so when within a 24-hour period something changes so drastically, of course there is going to be suspicion. And of course, when there's not transparency about what happened, when we don't know over the course of those 24 hours what changed, suspicion is warranted. And it's why our reporters and our investigative team continue to look into this and try to figure out what the full story is. know, if we're looking at this with a baseball analogy, Stephen A., we're still in the first inning right now. This is not something that's going to be going away. There's a federal investigation that's going on right now. At some point, I imagine there will be a Major League Baseball investigation as well. And it's all going to be looking for what the full truth actually is.
Good money.
Jeff, how big of a distraction do you see this being for Ohtani and the Dodgers?
It's interesting, Molly. After the first game of the season in South Korea where the Dodgers are playing the Padres right now, there was a team meeting. And in that meeting, Ipe Mitsuhara got up in front of the team and spoke and essentially said, I'm very sorry for what I did. And the reaction of the players at that point, now this is before it had come out that he supposedly perpetuated a massive theft. The reaction of the team was, okay, you know, you're part of the team, Ipe. And I think that's that really illustrates just how close he has been with Shohei Ohtani. If you see Shohei Ohtani somewhere, Ipe Mitsuhara is there. You talk about it like a professional business partnership. No, it was beyond that. They were good friends. They were, you know, Ipe Mitsuhara was Shohei Ohtani's confidant, the person in whom he could trust above all else, which is why I think seeing the allegations that a massive fraud took place here, that was the most shocking part of this whole story. And the Dodgers, they already have enormous expectations on them. $700 million in free agent deal for Shohei Ohtani this winter. $325 million for Yoshinobu Yamamoto. You know, everyone thinks this is a team that's going to win 100 plus games and is going to potentially go to the World Series this year. And we're only in game two of a 162 game season right now. But the way professional athletes operate is they are as tunnel visioned as they could possibly be. And they are going to do everything they can not to allow this to become as big of a distraction as it could be.
It's not beyond the pale. I mean, you go on social media and beyond, you've seen people, you're going to see people bringing up sports betting and gambling and what have you, and talking about calls made by refs and umpires and stuff like that, because obviously the advent, you know, and the proliferation of sports betting over the last few years have really kept minds eye on everything. This certainly doesn't help. How much does it hurt the sport of baseball for this to even be a story, considering how our automatic reaction is everything from Pete Rose to the Black Sox scandal?
Yep. Yeah, I mean, and Stephen A., of all people for this to happen with, it's the one guy who I think fans across all sports know. What Shohei Ohtani's done over the past couple of years and the way he's permeated the consciousness of not just like sporting fans in America, I think you could go to non-baseball fans and say the name Shohei Ohtani and people know who he is. And so that he is now tied to this, it's just very unfortunate, not only for Ohtani, but for the game of baseball. And, you know, it's going to be interesting going forward, I think, to see where this goes. Because if there was a massive theft perpetuated here, if charges are being pressed, if this is going to continue with the possibility of Ipe Mitsuhara potentially facing legal action, this is going to carry on for a long, long time. And considering that this is part of a much larger investigation by federal authorities, this is not going away, guys, anytime soon.
Yeah.
Jeff, you just highlighted, and Tisha did earlier, the money that was paid to Ohtani. We know that he's the biggest star in baseball. We know that he's an international star, a global star. Considering that, there's a lot of skeptics, a lot of cynics who would sit up there and say, you know what, the Dodgers, Major League Baseball, etc., are going to do everything they can to protect their top asset. People like yourself and others who are great at what you do when it comes particularly to covering sports, covering baseball, being an investigative reporter the way that you are. How does everybody deal with that element? The fact that there are going to be people out there assuming, well, you know what, come on, where there's smoke, there's fire, he's got to be guilty of something. Sure. They're just protecting him. How do you go about dealing with it from that perspective?
You know, I look at it like this, Stephen A. If it's just Major League Baseball that's doing the investigation here, of course you're going to say, yeah, you know, they could stand to benefit from just sweeping it under the rug. The difference between that in the current situation is that there's a federal investigation going on right now, and law enforcement has no fealty to Shohei Ohtani. They don't look at him and say that you are our great cash cow. You're the person who is out there representing the sport more than anyone. To them, he's just John Smith. And to them, Ipe Mitsuhara is just another guy who potentially and allegedly committed a crime. And I think that, when you have that investigative body that is independent as opposed to being run by Major League Baseball, it's a completely different story. And look, skepticism, Stephen A., is always warranted. It really is. That being said, though, I think we are so early in the stages here that we need to understand that this is something that's going to play out. And I know patience is not in great supply these days, but to go and immediately jump to conclusions, I also think is unfair to all the people involved. And in a situation like this, what we try to do as reporters is do this as fairly and accurately as we possibly can. So we're not going to speculate. We're not going to jump to conclusions. We're going to stick to the facts that we know. And if you read Tisha Thompson's story, I thought it was a spectacular work of journalism and a dogged work of reporting. And the fact that it turned the way that it did in the 24 hours before it was published, it was one of the more remarkable things I've seen in a long time.
Yeah, well, she did an exceptional job.
Yeah, and I just want to say this. You're absolutely right. But the suspicion comes from the greatness of Tisha Thompson's reporting. The fact that you could have a 90-minute interview, with the interpreter, that was arranged by his team, and then they come back and say disavow everything she said.
The story changed. Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. Here's the thing. What we're missing is the in-between. Okay, listen,
things change
sometimes. Things change sometimes. We have to acknowledge that not everything is necessarily going to be nefarious when it changes. The answer that we're missing is how did it change and why did it change?
Yeah, and the main point, excuse me, one second. Yep, Jeff, I was just going to say the main point, so viewers at home know, is that originally it was that Ohtani paid Mitsuhara's bet off, and then after it was that it was a massive theft. And that was the change in the story within the 24 hours. I just want to make sure that we provide context of what we're actually talking about. But continue on.
Yeah, I mean, Ipe Mitsuhara talked with Tisha Thompson for 90 minutes, and during that laid out a very clear case. He said, I was the one who bet. I have a gambling problem, and Shohei helped pay off these debts. The next day, it was a massive theft. So how do you go from one place to another? What happened during that time that makes sense? You know, we can come up with all sorts of plausible theories on why this happened, but our job, our mandate, it's to go and figure out what the actual story is there. And listen, when they are not providing it at the beginning, it's bound to cause, Stephen A., that skepticism and that suspicion. And that is understandable. What we need to keep from doing is filling in the blanks with what we necessarily think it is. Listen, you can speculate all you want, but to say you know, to say that you understand this has to be, we don't.
Yep.
That is the clearest thing I want to put forth right now.
We don't know, and that's why we have to wait for the investigation to unfold. That's okay.
We don't know,
but it's okay to ask. And by the way, the world of sports historically is a big reason, Molly and Jeff, why we are asking. The perception of impropriety,
no doubt,
will impact all sports. No way around that. Which is why gaming. Yep. Was not legalized in the past.
Yeah,
and again, that was exactly the fear that existed for decades.
Yep,
and it's still not
exactly
legal
right.
in California, where this took place.
Yeah, I mean, look, the Pandora's box is open. We're in an era right now where gambling is not just legal, but is a fundamental part of sports throughout the landscape, where leagues are partnering with betting partners. That's just the state of affairs that we have right now. And I think one of the consequences of that is that you have situations like this. You can't expect to have 1,200 Major League Baseball players, 780 of them in the big leagues at a time, and someone is not going to somehow be connected to some form of gambling. Now, you hope that it is done legally. You hope that it is done above board. You certainly hope that it is not on baseball. And, you know, in his interview with Tisha Thompson, Ipe Mitsuhara said, I did not bet on baseball. And from the reporting that ESPN's done at this point, we have not found any link to gambling on baseball, which I think is a really important part of this story and something that, until we do, needs to be said.
Yep. Absolutely. And I just want to highlight one thing you said before we let you go. Again, that he's not just his interpreter, Mitsuhara, he's also his confidant, and the nature of the closeness of that relationship between the two of them. Interesting. Jeff, thank you so much for being with us, and we'll continue to speak to you as this unfolds. Appreciate the time.
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Have you ridden an electric bike yet? Well, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to more exploring time outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range for up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting lectricebikes.com. That's lectricebikes.com.
Hey, hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. You can now stream the most MLB games on DirecTV without a satellite dish. Yes, catch the clutch hits, strikeouts, grand salamis, web gems with nothing on your roof. So whoever's up there, whether it's roofers, Santa, birds, old-time chimney sweepers, moody teenagers, thrill-seeking raccoons, you name it, they won't find a satellite dish, but you will find your MLB games on DirecTV. That means DirecTV is your home for baseball this season. Root, root, root with nothing on your roof. Yes, stream your team. Call 1-800-DIRECTV or visit DirecTV.com to sign up today. Claim based on the total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Thanks so much for listening to the First Take Pod. Have a fabulous day.
The Buffalo Bills are favorites to win the AFC East again, according to ESPN Bet, after a wild ending to the division this season. The Bills won the division championship in the regular season finale, defeating the Miami Dolphins 21-14. The Bills have now won four straight AFC East crowns. Looking now at Buffalo's offseason moves, while the Bills managed to extend three-time Pro Bowl offensive tackle Deion Dawkins and bring in wide receiver Curtis Samuel, Buffalo lost several key contributors this offseason: Tre'Davious White, Jordan Poyer, Mitch Morse, and wide receiver Gabe Davis. We go to the West Coast, folks. Our girl Mina Kimes is joining us, along with Kimberly A. Martin back here as well. Hey, Mina. Mina, you're up first. I need a fresh voice here. Has the downfall of this iteration of the Bills been overblown?
Yeah. I think so. I think it's correct that they're the favorites to win the AFC East next year. I feel like sometimes when teams make it really far in the postseason and then they lose, and of course they were missed field goal away from advancing, we tend to overreact to that instead of reacting to what got them to that point in the first place, which is, in the Bills' case, one of the three best quarterbacks in the NFL, at minimum, in my opinion. An offense that was incredibly efficient last year and returns most of the key players outside of the center. A defense that, despite some very serious injuries last season, finished eighth overall in defensive efficiency. They get the player who I think is probably their best player on defense, Matt Milano, their middle linebacker, back. There's some losses for sure, but when I look at the playoff teams and the pieces that they've lost, and I look at the landscape of the AFC East, I'm still picking this team to win the division. I'm still picking them to advance in the postseason as well.
You know what? It doesn't surprise me, but I'm going to agree with Mina here. I think you have to look at the Bills and say, what will they be? And we don't know, but what we do know about them is that they have the answer at quarterback. And to me, that solves a lot of problems that any team would have. When you even look in their division, the only reason some of us would give the Jets a puncher's chance is because of Aaron Rodgers, because of that quarterback position. Listen, this is a Bills team that had to move on from familiar faces, very good players, but aging players. But bringing back Taylor Rapp, Daquan Jones, Matt Milano, that makes me feel better about this team. This is a team that I think will have 11 draft picks as well. So you knew that they were going to come into this offseason looking to clear some salary cap space, and they've done that. And so far, when you've looked at their roster and the way they draft, you have to give credit to GM Brandon Bean for at least getting this team in a position where each year the Bills with that quarterback always have a chance.
Well, that's why I'm going to be limited in the amount of credit I'm willing to give to GM, because when you got Josh Allen, anything's possible.
See?
Now, look, Mina, you understand? I got to be careful because I'm talking to Mina here and Kimberly, and we know y'all stuff. But allow me to just throw a couple of statistics that kind of matter to me, okay? Do you know that over the last four seasons, the Bills have the second most regular season wins in the NFL to the Chiefs, 51-48? Did you know that? Did you know that they also rank second in scoring offense and first in scoring defense over the last 4 years? Did you know that? Did you know that since in that four-season stretch?
Where's this going?
Excuse me, since 2020, Buffalo has played in only one AFC championship game, which came back in 2020, and they've had no Super Bowl appearances. Their downfall has not been overblown. It hasn't. It's about Super Bowl expectations at some point, is it not, Mina? Is it not?
Right. Well, let me ask you this, Stephen A.
Yes.
Are you picking them to win the division this year?
So
do you think they'll win the AFC?
So yes. Yes. Let me tell you why. I know you hang out with the boys in South Beach, the Lebatards, and those are my boys, so I love them. But you know, yeah. I know that. Let's get that out there. I can say that because those are my boys. Here's the point that I'm trying to make to you, Nina. In Miami, get them away from Miami, and they don't know how to act. They're like allergic to inclement weather. So we gonna dismiss them, okay? Somehow, some way, in November and December, when the weather gets a little cold in other parts of the country, that's when they gonna mess up. I could go with that. The Jets, we got to wait to see what Aaron Rodgers is gonna do because he's coming off of the Achilles tear. I know he was out walking around and throwing footballs. Damn it, they ain't the same as dropping back to pass and throwing that bad boy, especially when you listen to Nathaniel Hackett in your ear too. Don't get me started with that. And New England's just New England, okay? I wish Mayo and the crew nothing but luck. But we got to wait and see. I mean, by default, the Buffalo Bills are gonna be considered the favorites in the AFC East. But when you talk about Baltimore, when you talk about Cincinnati, even to a lesser degree, Cleveland, when you look at Houston, when you look at Kansas City, hell yeah, you're thinking about them before you think about the Buffalo Bills. And when I think about that, with Josh Allen as being your quarterback, with the greatness that he can put on display and the expectations that come with it, now I'm seeing you got rid of Gabe Davis. He's gone. Stephon Diggs doesn't really want to be there, whether he's willing to come out and openly admit it. Now I'm telling you what I know. You got to figure out how I know. I'm telling you what I know. The brother would rather be someplace other than in Buffalo, okay? You're damn right. It's not being overblown.
Can I just ask a question? Did you not say the Bills have the second most regular season wins behind the Kansas City Chiefs?
Yes.
Okay. Did you not just mention the greatness
of Josh Allen?
Josh Allen?
Yes.
Okay. And now, so you're talking about Super Bowls, but to get to a Super Bowl, you do have to win. Pause. You do have to win
regular season
games.
You're doing that again. You're doing that again.
And
she does the pause to me, Mina. She does the pause to me.
Already express Josh Allen, top three quarterback in the NFL. So we're talking about Super Bowls.
Do
you at least think that the Bills have a shot?
They have
of
a
competing
shot.
With the Chiefs.
Fine.
Okay.
Fine.
So,
but a couple of years ago, we were talking about them. Listen, only Patrick Mahomes is really standing in their way. Well, there's a few teams that are standing in their way. There's a few teams is what I'm trying to say. That's what I mean when I'm talking about the downfall is overblown. I'm not telling you ain't going to make the playoffs. I'm not telling you that Josh Allen ain't going to do his thing. I'm saying that when you think about the Buffalo Bills now compared to how you were looking at them 2-3 years ago, there's been a precipitous drop-off. The great Mina Kimes, I know you ain't going to deny that.
That there's been a drop-off with the Bills? I don't think so, actually.
Oh,
I mean, I when I consider the amount of adversity that they overcame last year to get as far, again, Stephen A., field goal away from beating the Super Bowl champions. I guess I feel like we're overrating that, how close they got.
That's what we're doing.
And I do think, to Kimberly's point,
That's what we do in 9 minutes. So in other words, they got to get
blown. There's an opportunity here for the roster to get younger and more talented as well.
Okay. So that's what we got to do now. We got to go by, all right, they didn't get blown out like the Cowboys did to the Packers. They went down 48-16. It was a competitive matchup. They came within a field goal. Damn it, the Buffalo Bills were home before the AFC Championship game yet again. That's not what our expectations were of them 2-3 years ago. We were looking at Josh Allen knocking on the door of a Super Bowl championship. Now we look at other quarterbacks in the NFL. What? If Joe Burrow was healthy, Lamar Jackson doing his thing, Patrick Mahomes is there. You talk about where would he rank, fourth, fifth in the AFC conference alone? I don't believe that, but I'm saying this is how he gets talked about from time to time as we look at the Buffalo Bills. Come on, y'all. I'm not making this up.
Sure. Well, you mentioned the Texans who, frankly, you know, did get a little embarrassed at the end of the playoff. It's an ascendant team. I'm very excited about them, but you mentioned the Ravens, who you talk about how teams played against the Chiefs. The Bills played them significantly better. Again, I don't hear a good reason for why these teams are overtaking Buffalo when we consider the landscape
Mina
of
said,
the NFL.
I hearing a lot of talking, but I'm not hearing no points, is what she just said.
I feel y'all on that. Respectfully, I don't give a damn. I know what I'm saying. I'm saying to you, when you look at the Buffalo Bills, okay, when you look at what our expectations were of them a couple of years ago, it has dissipated somewhat. By the way, I don't view the Baltimore Ravens as playing worse against the Kansas City Chiefs. Offensively, they were a bit anemic. But shoot, Zay Flowers don't fumble that ball in the end zone. We're looking at it differently. That one interception that Lamar Jackson, the defense played lights out in that particular game. There were two drives to start off the game that Kansas City moved the ball effectively. Outside of that, what would they do? Held to 3 points the last three quarters of the game. Let's not act like that's some blowout.
Okay, pause. Fair. Let's not act like every other team in the AFC, when you talk about the Bengals, when you talk about the Ravens, when you talk about the Jets or the Texans, don't have questions that they also have to answer. The Ravens lost a lot of pieces free agency, but they did get Derrick Henry. Okay, offense seems all right. However, what about the defense? Geno Stone, Patrick Queen. So when you look at the Bengals, they actually lost some pieces on the offensive.
Wait,
give me a second. They lost some pieces on the offensive line. What's happening with T. Higgins? They have the quarterback, but will they have some other pieces? Every other team in the AFC has questions to answer, but when I look at the AFC, it is the quarterbacks that make me feel better about certain teams over other
I'll give
teams.
I'll give it to you. All I'm trying to say is that a couple of years ago, we were talking about the Buffalo Bills possibly winning the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. We're not talking about them right now. That's all we mean
Mina
by the downfall. We're talking about the dissipation.
Yourself,
that's it.
I think we should still don't. They're not.
It makes sense.
Not,
just because you ain't listening don't mean I'm wrong. You hear what you want to hear.
Maybe
you
hear this block of
ears. I'm just saying. Go ahead, Mina.
No, I hear you that we held Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes as this great rivalry, but it's becoming like, you know, Serena Sharapova at this point. So I hear you on that. Like, if we were thinking of them as going back and forth and one's going to win and one's going to win, that's not how this plays out. But again, they were a field goal away from making it. And beyond that, when I look again at the AFC, no doubt the landscape has gotten more difficult since then. I just think that the Bills have maintained their status. When we look at the AFC and we end up ranking teams going into the season, I am still going to view them behind the Chiefs, yes, but certainly as a favorite to advance in the playoffs and go far.
I hear Mina just fine.
I remember the Bills getting rid of their offensive coordinator. I remember some people talking about how McDermott might not be the dude for them. I've heard all of those things. That doesn't sound like a team that's just floating along and elevating itself along the way.
You're not going to sway them.
That's
just
cool.
Just
they ain't
going
to sway me either, Molly.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code FIRSTTAKE and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to gamble responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. This U.S. promotional offer not available in D.C. D.C., Mississippi, North Carolina, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369 for New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. For West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. First bet offer for new customers only. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. In partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. You still have time to join the ESPN tournament, Stephen A. Look at this. Almost at 25 million. You think they're going to beat us in the First Take group? I'm definitely going to beat you. It's time to sign up and play. Download the Tournament Challenge app and use all the great tools to fill out your men's and women's brackets today. And don't forget to join the First Take group and play against us. Good luck. I'm a winner. I won last year, in case you didn't know. All right, let the madness begin. The first round of the NCAA Men's Basketball Tournament starts today with number 9 Michigan State facing off against number 8 Mississippi State. There's been discussion lately about potential expansion to more than 68 teams in the tournament, but not everybody's for that change. Take a listen to what Kentucky head coach John Calipari had to say about the matter.
I hope it stays where it is. You know, I know people get mad. They get mad at the committee. You won't believe this. I've been mad at that committee a few times. But you may be mad because of your seed or where they shipped you to. I've said go the S curve the whole way down. Then no one, you just rank them 1 through 68 and go like that. Well, we can't because of this and leagues and all that. But it doesn't matter who the committee is. We're all going to be upset. I'll say everybody that's in this thing, I would say they'd say the same thing. Keep it where it is. Don't mess with something that's great.
If it ain't broke, don't fix it. Just like this guy right here, Seth Greenberg. How we doing? Looking clean. I like the sport coat, the sweater. You look very nice, well put together.
We were just
talking about Calipari with you the other day, sir. I know you were feeling a little sorry for him. Is he right about expansion, though?
He's wrong. I have the solution to this whole thing. You take the bottom 16 1-bid leagues, all right? You put 4 teams in each quadrant, all right, in each region. The winner of those gets into the main bracket. Now you're opening up the bracket for more Power 5 conference teams. And you say, well, why are you doing that? Because eventually we're going to have 4 conferences. They're going to probably play 25 or 30 teams in each conference. Well, you know, if there's 25 or 30 teams in a conference, getting 8 or 9 teams, and people say, well, you know, they're 12 and 12 or they're 13 and 13 in league play. Yeah, because they're playing really good teams every single night in a 30-game schedule. So more of those teams are going to get in. You're still going to have the little guy get in. They're going to be basically in the first 4 in 4 different regions, and you expand it by 12 teams. It'll be just fine. It was 32. It went to 64. It went to 68. And you know what? It's still great.
Coach, I don't disagree with you. You were talking to me about this the other day, and you certainly educated me about that, and I appreciate the education. But it's not like John Calipari doesn't have a point. And I got to tell you something. I'm looking at Virginia the other day and how awful they looked. The perfect cure for insomnia, for crying out loud. My God, how boring could they be? And, you know, somehow, some way, you looked at a team clearly undeserving of being in the tournament. They were in there. You sure? I mean, again, I don't disagree with you. I'm more inclined to agree with you. But it's not like we can say that John Calipari doesn't have a point, because I think the detriment to adding additional teams, Coach, is us seeing additional teams that are undeserving of even being there to begin with.
Look, Steve, I understand that, but, you know, maybe the committee made a mistake on who they put in. Maybe, you know, quite honestly, this year, and let's talk about Virginia, because you fired my man Tony Bennett yesterday. You absolutely fired him. You absolutely gave him his walking papers.
Tell the audience why.
Because they're boring.
Thank you.
You do not like their style of play.
That is the first coach that I looked at and said, you know what?
The Cardinals sin to Stephen A.
I said, they should lose their job because of flat-out boredom. I mean, be somewhat appealing. Pay attention to the audience. Read the room.
Everyone doesn't have to play the same way, but that same boring coach, all right, in the last 10
national
years.
National champion.
He's the winningest coach in the ACC over the last 10 years.
But he's won 75% of his games. How you win, coach, matters. I mean, if you listen, what?
Is this an exhibition? Boy, the Globetrotters?
Can I ask you a question? Wasn't there a time when there was four corners, particularly executed by Dean Smith, the Dean Smiths of the world, where you held the ball and held the ball and held the ball, you know, and got games being scored in the 40s and 50s? There's a reason they outlawed that stuff, because it was putting people to sleep. That's why, coach, you got to be Tony Bennett. You got to adapt with design. He's a nice man and a damn good coach. I know he is. I'm not questioning his basketball credentials. But at some point in time, Tony Bennett, you do have an obligation to be somewhat appealing to the viewing audience. You ain't playing in an empty gymnasium.
They will be more appealing. They were pretty appealing when they had Brogdon. They were pretty appealing when they had Guy. They were pretty appealing when they had Jerome and Hunter and NBA players. Well, here's the deal. They have not recruited well. And when you don't recruit well and play in a limited number of possessions and you can't shoot it, it is really unappealing. I agree with you. Yet they came in third place in the ACC. They beat Florida, who's in the tournament. They beat other teams in the tournament. I personally think that Pitt, Oklahoma, St. John's, Seton Hall deserve to be in ahead of them this year. But just because they play different, hey, Stephen A., let's face it this way. Are you different than most people?
Oh, yes, I am.
Sometimes different is good.
But in a very exciting and riveting way.
Oh, my goodness. Okay.
That's the difference.
Let me go.
You understand? I mean, you can't. I can't put people to sleep.
Okay, let us do the bragging
for you.
Okay, Seth, coach, so here's the deal. So Stephen A. hates boring, obviously. Cardinals sin to him, but he loves blockbuster. He loves to use that word. So give us some stars that are going to show out in this tournament and become blockbuster names.
I think, you know, it's the backcourt of Kentucky. I mean, you got three guys, and those guys are just must-see TV. You know, Reed Sheppard snapping off passes. Rob Dillingham is a show in itself. He's like the microwave. He does stuff we haven't seen in a really long time. Antonio Reeves. So those three, that's just one group. DJ Burns is going to play tonight. DJ Burns at NC State, like, he is fun to watch. Like, he's kind of like Barkley way before he lost his weight. But he's a wide body, great hands, finishes around the rim, either hand, carves
like
out space. He's a matchup nightmare.
Can't jump.
How do you guard this? He don't have to jump. He puts that body on you. You can't get the ball on the jump up.
That's some real beef right there.
He's a problem. And NC State might be a problem in the tournament. I'll tell you one thing. They're an interesting team if they can validate their win. And then Faladante at Oregon, he's been hurt all his career.
Yeah.
In the Pac-12 tournament, he was really good. 20 points, 11 rebounds, 2 blocks. He's a pro.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Coach, talk to you real soon. You're the best.
Brought to you by the Capital One Venture Card. Earn unlimited double miles on every purchase every day, and you can use those miles on any travel purchase. Plus, earn unlimited 5X miles on hotels and rental cars booked through Capital One Travel. Your next trip is closer than you think with the Venture Card from Capital One. Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Quick take. The LA Clippers topped Portland 116-103 last night, but it was James Harden's bizarre defense on his own teammate Kawhi that caught our attention. So in the third quarter, Clips up 21, Harden playfully contests Kawhi's shot, saying after the game he was just trying to bring some excitement to his team. Now, Stephen A., I know you love excitement. You just lamented boring. What's your reaction to that?
I'm proud of James Harden. I'm very proud of him. He showed an effort defensively. I'm very proud of him. Didn't bother me at all.
What is wrong with you?
Didn't bother me at all. They're playing against Portland, obviously. They up 21. Ain't worried about it. Norman Powell, Mr. Microwave, the modern-day microwave himself, sitting on the bench in street clothes, stuff like that. You know, you playing around, had a good time. It showed a willingness to play some defense. I think that's a very important step, a progressive step in the world of James Harden. James Harden tried to contest the shot. I'm very proud. I'm very proud.
You're
Maybe
unbelievable.
There's a reason to believe in the Clippers after all. I'm good.
Okay,
I'm
good. Enough for you.
Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. When you're on a business trip, you know what goes completely off the rails? Your workout routine. Especially when you book a hotel that doesn't have a gym. So what ends up happening is you do a few push-ups, sit-ups in your room, run around the block, or you just skip it entirely. Lame. If you just stay at La Quinta by Wyndham, you'll discover there's a fully equipped fitness center at every location. Now you can wake up, power your buys or tries the right way, or de-stress with a little cardio. The choice is yours. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
All right, back to the NFL. So free agency off and running. The Eagles not short on making moves. Most notable, they have been signing linebacker Devin White, wideout Devontae Parker, the return of defensive back C.J. Gardner-Johnson, and former division rival Saquon Barkley, whose daughter is pretty excited for the change in culture. Take a listen to this.
When I told her that we're going to be going to Philly, she kind of was just like, does that mean we're going to win now? And I just started smiling again. And I was like, hopefully we can win some more games.
Mina, before we get into the question, just your reaction to Saquon's daughter right there.
I mean, she knows ball. Where is the lie? She nailed it. Happy for him. Happy for her. Happy for Saquon.
Seriously. Yeah. Okay, Stephen A., tell me this. Do you have more faith in Dak Prescott or Jalen Hurts?
Is that a trick question? Why the hell would I have more faith in Dak Prescott over Jalen Hurts? Jalen Hurts just got Saquon. Jalen Hurts still got A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith and Dallas Goedert. And an offensive line that I would dare challenge is better than the Dallas Cowboys. Why on earth would I have an issue with Jalen Hurts, thinking that Jalen Hurts wouldn't be considered a better off and having a reason to have more faith in Hurts rather than Dak Prescott? Of course I'm going to pick Jalen Hurts in this particular question, Mina, without question.
Why would you pick Dak Prescott? Because he played significantly better than Jalen Hurts last season would be my answer. I mean, by any stretch of the imagination, okay. Dak Prescott, second in passer rating, Jalen Hurts, 20th. Dak Prescott, second in QBR, Jalen Hurts, 12th. Dak Prescott, second
right
in completion percentage, Jalen Hurts, 15th. Jalen Hurts struggled greatly against the blitz, which of course kind of proved to be their undoing in the postseason we saw against Tampa Bay. Look, I do think Jalen can rebound from what we saw last season. I think he is a better quarterback than the one we saw for really much of the season, but particularly in the second half. However, Dak Prescott played quarterback at such a higher level than Jalen. Yes, the Eagles have a better offensive line, even with the loss of Jason Kelce. But last I checked, the Cowboys still have CeeDee Lamb, who is one of the best receivers in the NFL. I think this offense will be fine.
I am really, really, I've always enjoyed Mina on the show. And I
Spicy.
Enjoy her on the air.
I like it.
But I'm starting to enjoy you so much more because you're trying to get slick now. And I love folks who are trying to get slick on First Take. Way to go! Because let me tell you something. I noticed how you left out how Jalen Hurts. I mean, you got Sirianni that lost both coordinators. Obviously, you're coming into last season. Things weren't the same. You weren't 100% healthy. You got injured, particularly against the Jets. You were hobbled throughout the second half of the season. But you left that stuff out, Mina. You left that stuff out. And I'm looking at Dak Prescott. And oh, by the way, Dak Prescott, Mr. McCarthy, you just lied to Jerry Jones, lied to Jerry and Stephen Jones. I want to run the football more. I want to run the football more, okay? That's why you need to get rid of Kellen Moore. The minute Kellen Moore goes out the door, you ran the football every bit as much as he did. I'm just looking at all of those things. But here's what I love. They now have Kellen Moore as their offensive coordinator in Philadelphia last time I checked. Okay, and I'm thinking about that, and I'm thinking about the weapons that they have available to them, and I'm saying to myself, excuse me, I expect this year to be better than last year. I expect Dak Prescott to go this way. I don't expect Jalen Hurts to go that way. That's where I'm at.
If the question was who is in a better situation, I might pick Jalen Hurts. Although I am confident somewhere in the First Take archives, there's probably a video of you, Stephen A., questioning the skills of Kellen Moore, who's their new offensive coordinator.
Yes, you
but
are right.
The question
you got
was
me
who
there.
Do you have more faith
you
in?
Got me
I'm gonna
yeah.
on Kellen Moore. I am going to go with the quarterback who played significantly better last season.
I never once said that Dak Prescott did not play better than Jalen Hurts. I know better than that.
You know where I'm from, right? Yeah. Connecticut. You know where she went to school, Yale. It's pretty good.
I actually don't know where you're from, Molly. I don't pay attention to that.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Electric E-Bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Electric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Electric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Electric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.